Hi, good afternoon. I'm going to be talking about embedding health equity and sustainability into the fabric of government today. And I have no relationships to disclose, and I'm also grateful for all those organizations we want to acknowledge. So Julia kind of spelled out what the key elements of health and all policies are, and I'm going to focus on what's listed here last, but is certainly not least in terms of doing the work of health and all policies. In terms of creating structural or process change and that as a goal of health and all policies, that's really what makes this work different than other social determinants of health or upstream work, is that this framing and foundation is essential. So the goal is that we're embedding these considerations into how decisions are made in government and how programs and policies are implemented and developed. And I think in terms of thinking about this from a public health perspective, the challenge we all are faced with is, how do we have this vision and develop this vision for institutional change when oftentimes our work is, you know, programmatic or service oriented? So how do we do this? How do we begin to embed health equity and sustainability into government policies? Well, the first way is by considering health equity and sustainability in the policy, program, and process of government. And then another way is embedding those things in how decisions are made in government. And all of that is with the goal of healthy public policy. And that really gets at that piece around systems change. And I think, you know, we hear a lot that we should be focusing on systems change, and it's like, how do we do that? And so this is kind of one clear way to break it down a little bit and think about it. And it's really important in this approach because for long-term and sustainable impact, as Julia was saying, it's all about the relationships, but the people that we make these relationships with, they can move on to a different position, or their organization or agency can have different funding priorities. And so by embedding into the fabric of government, we're creating that long-term sustainable aspect to then have healthy, equitable, and sustainable policy, public policy in the end. And I think the piece that we haven't mentioned so far in our presentation around how do we get these other sectors interested in this idea of healthy, sustainable, equitable public policy. It's not about health as a priority because it's better than any other government goal, but it's about health as a link, as a bridge, as a way of bringing people together. So I want to unpack this concept of healthy public policy a little bit because it's a question that we get a lot when we're doing our technical assistance work or talking with communities. You know, what is the public health role and authority in public policy, and what is public policy? Is that legislation? So we think about it in three different categories: individual, organizational, and public. And so individual can be thought about as decisions you make for you and your family. So maybe you decide, I'm only going to eat healthy foods when I'm at work. That's an individual policy. Organizational, our policies are decisions that agencies, departments, businesses, other organizations have. For example, a hospital could decide, we're only going to offer organic food in our cafeteria. And then public policy has a lot of complicated definitions, but really it's anything governments decide to do or not do. So a public policy kind of in the healthy food range could be a state saying in state buildings, all of our vending machines are going to provide a specific subset of healthier options. So with this basic understanding of then what public policy is, we can think about what are the different mechanisms for implementing health and all policies. And so here there's a list, and again, this is more detailed in the guide, but governments and organizations, they do all these things. They deal with data. They're employers. They give out funding. They put on conferences and educational events. They develop grant proposals. These are all opportunities to implement a health lens to identify what are the health impacts, benefits, and opportunities within these decision-making processes. So a health lens means providing evidence that allows people to consider the positive and negative impacts of their decisions during the decision-making process. And it's really a spectrum of activities. It could be a conversation between two agencies kind of talking about, well, what are the connections between health and the Department of Education or health and the Attorney General's office, something like that. It could be formal written input to a different sector. It can be a structured assessment of health impacts. And it can be carried out project by project or topic by topic or institutionalized into a process. And in health and all policies work, we're often applying a health lens to other sectors, right? And we often get asked about how does health impact assessment relate to health in all policies? And it's a really great question. And we see health impact assessment as one of those structured ways of applying a health lens. And then South Australia has actually developed a methodology for a structured way of applying a health lens analysis. And I briefly just want to mention a story that kind of made me smile recently. We were having a conversation with our transportation department, and we often have these conversations learning what are these other sectors' goals. You know, what are your priorities this year? What are you interested in? What's taking up a lot of your time? What are you working on? And so in this conversation, the idea of a health lens analysis left the mouth of one of our folks in transportation, and they said, you know, maybe what we could work on, how we could leverage the work of the Health and All Policies Task Force, is to think about applying a health lens to the regional transportation plans here in California. And, you know, as staff to this task force, wrote the idea down, but inside I was like, yes, oh my gosh, what a great idea! Health lens, those words, like, you know, so I think the other thing about health lens that we have found in our experience is that it's much more accessible than health impact assessment, and what we've also found is that is very specific to our place and kind of where we're at, and there's other people who health impact assessment is resonates very well. They have a lot of support and buy-in around that. And so it's just another way kind of semantically and theoretically to think about the work that you're doing. I just wanted to put, for those of you who haven't done health lens analysis or health impact assessment, some considerations to kind of think about. If you're super jazzed about this approach, you know, going out and saying, okay, let me meet with my social services department, and let's talk about how can we apply a health lens. There's some considerations you want to think about and kind of talk through and negotiate with your partners before you just launch into that. But what I really want to talk about is some of the examples of how we have been applying a health lens in California. And so the first is our governor's office of planning and research is mandated to provide guidance to cities and counties on how they develop their general and comprehensive plans related to land use. And they haven't updated those for 10 years, and now is the time that they're deciding to update those, which is great. And through many processes, but we think one of the ways that's been influential to them is that they've been a participant on the task force, and they're now updating these guidelines with the priorities of health, equity, sustainability, and economy as kind of the key themes that are running through that. And so again, another moment where we were like, whoa, that's so, like, wow, this is really embedding health, equity, sustainability in how government does business. And so kind of with that, you know, in this mechanism of guidance and best practices that governments can provide, they went so far as to hire an MD to come work on their staff to help them do this work. And that wasn't, we didn't suggest that. We didn't even know it was happening. And so another place where we were like, whoa, they really get that they can't achieve their goals unless they're considering health. And then I think the other piece that is important as we're thinking about how to operationalize this is, so what do we as health departments, like, what's our role in this if it's really about them thinking about health and kind of doing that work? So we can provide links to stakeholders. we can do stakeholder convenings ourselves and then share that information with them. We have HealthLens capacity kind of in our health departments, and so we can link them with other staff that also have that. We can provide access to other decision makers, so if we have strong relationships, we can kind of link them, you know, say they really want to talk with people in the agriculture realm, but they don't necessarily have the context. We can kind of be that broker and bridge that for them. And then we can validate their process. We can say, you know, they're trying to include health, and so we can say, oh, that's really great. Like, people are really interested in this. And then the other opportunity that the task force has been exploring is around aligning school facility and city planning processes, like Julia mentioned. And I think within this one has been really unique because, you know, they brought this to the task force. And not only is it a piece of guidance, but there's a regulatory component that they're working on, that there's guidance that goes with those regulations, and then they're interested in working on an issue brief that will be rolled out with workshops. And so all of those, they're seeing health as being a critical stakeholder and input. But the other piece around this is that it really has to be driven by them and their leadership. Julia mentioned the mechanism of purchasing, procurement, and contracts, and our food procurement work. And then lastly, as an example, some of the training and technical assistance areas that we worked in. And these are not, these are kind of have started off as one-off events, right? So they didn't start off as ways of embedding health inequity in how government does it, because maybe it was only one grant or it was only one workshop. But what these are, is it provides an opportunity then to build the relationship to further explore those other mechanisms and ways of more long-term institutionalized opportunities for embedding health equity and sustainability.